We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a nearly successful coup that started at the end of Constitution Avenue.
To the Capitol.
A congressman named Loudermilk, a MAGA guy obscure, led 12 of his constituents on a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. One of the guys who was on that tour, who'd learned his way around, came back with the mob the very next day and stormed the Capitol grounds.
We're coming in like white on rice.
It wasn't just a protest that got somehow out of hand, but a violent insurrection that ticked. Meticulously planned.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow.
The president, who would be king, conspired to make damn sure the rioters would lay siege that day on a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. The ship of state was nearly wrecked by the lawlessness and guile of Louder Milligan, the skipper too. The millionaire and the wife, the movie star, the professor and Marianne, here on Mutineers Isle.
Eighth and final planned hearing for the January 6th committee happening tonight during prime time.
The final hearing.
The final hearing.
Expect it to be the final hearing.
Stop the steal. He's
trained and he's trying. Give motion towards his clavicles. Dripping down the wall. He's one silent
toad. Finally. The claims of fraud were bull. He's been got him
witnessing. Hello?
This is going to open people's eyes in a big way. This investigation is not winding down.
The committee presenting what may be its most damning evidence to date, highlighting the 187 minutes between President Trump telling his supporters to march to the Capitol and when he finally told them to go home.
Hey, get to the building. Hold.
Are that door up. If we're moving, we need to move now.
Copy.
If we lose any more time, we may lose the ability to leave.
Former Deputy National Security Advisor Matt Pottinger spoke about one of Trump's few actions to send out a tweet criticizing Vice President Pence.
So the tweet looked to me like the opposite of what we really needed at that moment, which was a de-escalation. That's why I had said earlier that it looked like fuel being poured on the fire. So that was the moment that I decided that I was going to resign.
The committee showed the video that Trump recorded 3 hours after learning of the attack, that he went off script and spoke lovingly of the crowd.
We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger stated the plain and simple reason the former president sat on his butt during the riot.
The mob attacking the Capitol quickly caused the evacuation of both the House and the Senate. The count ground to an absolute halt and was ultimately delayed for hours. The mob was accomplishing President Trump's purpose, so of course he didn't intervene. President Trump did not fail to act during the 187 minutes between leaving the ellipse and telling the mob to go home. He chose not to act.
For hours, Trump ignored pleas by his aides, members of Congress, and even his own daughter to call off the violence as it unfolded before his eyes.
The primetime event painted the clearest picture yet of how former President Trump waited until it was clear that his supporters would not be able to stop the certification of the vote before he made any attempt to call off the angry mob.
As he was gathering his things in the dining room to leave, President Trump reflected on the day's events with a White House employee. President Trump said nothing to the employee about the attack. He said only, quote, "Mike Pence let me down."
Wow. Trump watched everything that happened on January 6th, and his biggest problem is that Mike Pence let him down by, I guess, not being hanged?
He said he was my ride or die, but when I asked him to die, he wouldn't do it. What a loser.
But yeah, the main takeaway from this hearing is not only did Trump do nothing through 3 hours of the best TV he watched all year, but he only finally spoke out once it was clear that the coup had failed.
Witnesses told us that on January 6th, President Trump sat in his usual spot, at the head of the table, facing a television hanging on the wall. We know from the employee that the TV was tuned to Fox News all afternoon. It's important to understand what he never did that day.
Oh, let me guess. Eat a salad. Tell Eric he was proud of him. Have a bowel movement without praying for God's mercy. I know. Win the election. There was a whole list of security officials the president didn't reach out to that day.
We have confirmed in numerous interviews with senior law enforcement and military leaders, Vice President Pence's staff and D.C. government officials, none of them, not one, heard from President Trump that day. He did not call to issue orders. He did not call to offer assistance.
He did not call them from a box. He did not call while watching Fox. He did not help out Uncle Sam. His brain is made of eggs and ham. But in his defense, it is possible he forgot the number for 911. They also played testimony of White House counsel Pat Cipollone, showing just how much he and others tried to get the president to act.
Did you continue, Mr. Cipollone, throughout the period of time up until 4/17, continue, you and others, to push for a stronger statement?
Yes.
Were you joined in that effort by Ivanka Trump?
Yes.
Eric Hirschman?
Yes.
By Mark Meadows?
Yes.
Is the president guilty?
Yes.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes.
Who's your favorite 70s prog rock group?
Yes.
Was every single person in the White House other than the president horrified by his criminal coup attempt?
Yes! 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 Yes!
Even though advisors wanted him to make a public address, they knew it would come with a couple of risks.
President Trump's advisors knew his state of mind at that moment And they were worried about what he would say in unscripted comments.
Yes, they were worried he'd walk up to the podium in the press room and start jazz scatting. Scabbity-dip-boppity-dip, hang Mike Pence. An unnamed security official testified just how real the threat was.
The members of the VPT tell at this time were starting to fear for their own lives. There was a lot of yelling, a lot of very personal calls over the radio. So it was disturbing. I don't like talking about it, but there were calls to say goodbye to family members, so on and so forth.
Members of Pence's security detail were calling their families to say goodbye. That's how real the danger was. So anytime some Republican says this was just a normal tourist visit, remember that the guy at Disneyland dressed up as Goofy never has to call his wife to say, I may not make it home tonight. Kiss the kids. Now, during the violence, during all this violence, the ex-president tweeted another attack on Mike Pence, and one rioter explained the effect on the other rioters.
I keep hearing that Mike Pence has screwed us. That's the word. I keep hearing reports that Mike Pence has screwed us.
Well, that's historic. No one has ever admitted Mike Pence screwed them. There's circumstantial evidence, but that's about it. Hearsay. Then the committee talked about Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. The man who famously raised a fist in solidarity with the mob before entering Congress that day. Turns out, once the mob broke into the building, he wasn't quite so enthusiastic to stand with them.
Later that day, Senator Hawley fled after those protesters he helped to rile up stormed the Capitol. See for yourself.
Yeah! Look at him go! Jim, can we play that back with the audio turned up? Can we play that back with the audio turned up?
You better run for your life if you can.
Can we play that back with the audio turned up? Can we play that back with the audio turned up?
We're running up that road.
One witness described a stunning phone call between Kevin McCarthy and the former president.
I asked Kevin McCarthy, who's the Republican leader, about this. And he said he called Donald Trump. He finally got through to Donald Trump, and he said, you have got to get on TV. You've got to get on Twitter. You've got to call these people off. You know what the president said to him? This is as it's happening. He said, well, Kevin, these aren't my people. You know, these are Antifa.
First of all, no. But second of all, okay, let's say they were Antifa. Wouldn't that make the president want to stop them more? You heard it here first. The former president doesn't want to stop Antifa, and he thinks they are very special people, and he loves them.
A friend of mine recently said that I was the most persecuted person in the history of our country. And I said, that's a strong statement. But then I thought about it, and I felt, you know, he may very well be right. A friend of mine recently said that I was the most persecuted person in the history of our country. Me, the most persecuted. I never thought it that way. I never had time. I was always fighting with these people that were trying to persecute me. I didn't have time to think about being persecuted because I was fighting persecution. When I thought about it, though, I sat back. He's a very smart guy, successful. I said, you know, he may very well be right.
I like the idea that this never occurred to Trump until a friend suggested it. This is where he gets all his ideas. You know, Donald, I was thinking your situation kind of reminds me of the Salem witch trials. It's almost like it's a hunt for witches, Donald. You know, like a witch hunt. Witch hunt, you say, that's pretty good, friend. Dear friend, I'm going to tweet that with no context. First of all, I love you. He never names the friend. He's like, that's good. I'm going to quote you on that. No, don't say my name. Nobody can know I'm your friend, dude! I also love the idea that Trump sat back and thought about it, you know, after he finished conjugating persecuted. Persecuted, persecution. They persecute, and I'm the persecutee. He just sat back and he thought about it, And he came to the conclusion that, yes, his friend was right. I'm sure he was just sitting in his study with a pipe and smoking jacket, surrounded by walls of books, comparing himself to other historical examples. Famous persecuted Americans, let's see. There's me, there's Rosa Parks. There's Reuben Hurricane Carter, I guess out of those three. It's gotta be me if it's those three. Although we do love hurricanes, don't we, folks? We love the boxer. In the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade. So true. And also we love hurricanes. The actual storms, of course, when I say hurricane. All the water and the wind and the destruction. You know, sometimes I think to myself, I would love to be swept up in a hurricane and carried away from all these earthly concerns. The reality of the many horrors. The many horrors I've visited upon myself and the people around me, but I can't because I'm trapped here on this mortal coil. We love the coil, don't we, folks? I'm here on the mortal coil. Where I'm buffeted by the vicissitudes of life and where I will inevitably face the grim consequences of all the destruction I have wrought. These guys know what I'm talking about. Personally, I think that maybe Trump is just especially wounded after the January 6th committee aired those embarrassing outtakes last week from his speech the day after the attempted coup, in addition to showing us what Trump was unwilling to say. For example, he didn't want to say that the election was over or that the rioters should face justice. They also showed us that maybe Trump's not, like, the best reader.
Whenever you're ready, sir.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. You do not represent our movement. You do not represent our country. And if you broke the law, you can't say that. I already said you will pay. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defied the seat of dust. It's defiled, right? See, I can't see it very well. Okay, I'll do this. I'm going to do this. Let's go. But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say Congress has certified the results without saying the election's over, okay? I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me. Good. Take the word yesterday, because it doesn't work with the heinous attack. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Nailed it. Nailed it. I think you could take out yesterday because they'll remember it was yesterday because it was such a living nightmare. Really? The word yesterday is a hard word for you. It's three syllables. Maybe yesterday is difficult for him because he doesn't understand the concept. He literally has no memory of anything that happened more than 5 minutes ago. He's like a caveman who's not sure if the sun will come back out after it goes down at night. That's why he looks straight at it, you know, to make sure it's still there.
Yes, yes. Him refusing to say the election is over, that's damning as hell, right? But the rest of the stuff, I mean, it just seems like someone who's struggling to read, you know? No, I get it. It can happen to you. You know, it can happen. Sometimes you're trying to work with the camera and you don't. I understand that. But what I will say is really funny is how he says he can't say yesterday, but says yesterday. He's like, I can't say yesterday. Yesterday's really hard. Nobody can say yesterday. What is that word? See, I'll try to say it now. Yesterday. You see, you can't say yesterday. You can't say. What was that thing, by the way? That was funny. I've never seen him do that. This is like a sassy Trump. But really, the parts of the clip where Trump refuses to say the election is over, that is bad, right? And very optimistic. Because say what you want about the man, he does not give up. If he was a football coach, he'd be in the locker room like, okay, team, we lost by 30 points, and the other team has already gone home, which means the end zone is completely unguarded. Time to run the board, fellas. Get in there like yesterday. I said it. I said the word.
Hey, I'll do this. I'm going to do this. Let's go. Okay? It's defiled. If you broke the law, you can't say that.
In his closing statement, Representative Kinzinger
brought the whole thing home.
Whatever your politics, whatever you think about the outcome of the election, we as Americans must all agree on this. Donald Trump's conduct on January 6th was a supreme violation of his oath of office and a complete dereliction of his duty to our nation. It is a stain on our history. It is a dishonor to all those who have sacrificed and died in service of our democracy.
Yes, he is a stain on our history. And thanks to these hearings, we know that stain is ketchup. In her closing statement, Congresswoman Luria quoted our 16th president.
I was not as prescient as Abraham Lincoln, who 23 years before the Civil War said, "If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and its finisher." Donald Trump was the author, and we the people, for ourselves and our posterity, should not let Donald Trump be the finisher.
So, all in all, it was a long night, almost 3 hours, but it wasn't nearly as long as the 187 minutes where the former president did nothing to stop an ongoing insurrection that he created and then watched it all in glee as it played out on TV. Let's just hope some of his followers were watching this tonight.
So sadly, that's it for season one of the January 6 hearings. But good news, it's already been renewed for season two that drops in September. Yeah. And like any good series, they're leaving us with some major cliffhangers. Will they find the Secret Service deleted text messages? Will Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger finally realize the love they've been looking for has been right in front of them this whole time? Will we find out that Steve Bannon was the source of monkeypox? Either way, we'll be waiting with bated breath.
As we've made clear throughout these hearings, our investigation goes forward. We continue to receive new information every day. We continue to hear from witnesses. We will reconvene in September to continue laying out our findings to the American people.
We're getting a sequel in September, and a fall hearing is perfect because the former president is pumpkin spice. On Friday, we got a verdict in the contempt trial of former presidential advisor. Steve Bannon. Leading up to and through the trial, Bannon has been fiercely defiant.
This is going to be the misdemeanor from hell for Merrick Garland, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden. We're going to go on the offense. We're tired of playing defense. We're going to go on the offense on this and stand by.
Pray for our enemies, okay? Pray for, because we're going medieval on these people. We're going to savage our enemies. So pray for them. That's who needs prayers? Certainly not Stephen K. Bannon.
He doesn't need prayers or want them. I believe we have footage, is this true, of the last time someone prayed for Steve Bannon?
The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
So, what kinds of savage medieval hell did Bannon unleash on his enemies during this trial? He put on no defense and was found guilty on all charges. Evidently, Bannon was hoping to win in the court of public opinion. Unfortunately, his trial was held in the court of court. And now that he's convicted, Bannon faces up to 2 years in federal prison. The jury convicted Bannon after less than 3 hours of deliberation, including a lunch break. It took them less time to convict him than it did to agree on calamari for the table. Bannon's not the only one being affected by the January 6th committee. Their hearings have had a huge negative impact on the reputation of former president Grand Theft Autocrat. According to a recent New York Times, Siena College, Kibbles and Bits poll, nearly half of Republican primary voters are seeking someone different for president in 2024. Wow. And a significant number are vowing to abandon him if he wins the nomination. So that means the hearings are working. The former president has been betrayed by his closest friend, TV.
Watch out, sir. Sir, watch out. Toilet will betray you next. The things it's seen.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.